Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with this theme of Christian Science. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we welcome you all. We'll start with our morning prayer.
Yes. This morning I have brief excerpts from Miscellany, page 147 and 18. Let the Bible and the Christian Science textbook preach the gospel which heals the sick and enlightens the people's sense of Christian Science. This ministry, reaching the physical, moral, and spiritual needs of humanity, will in the name of Almighty God speak the truth that today, as in olden time, is found able to heal both sin and disease. May the grace and love of God be and abide with you all. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful. Thank you, Florence. All right, and our watching point.
Watch number 349. Excuse me. Watch that you hold a clear perception of the relation of science and health to Mrs. Eddy's own life. One is the letter and the other the spirit. It is of little use for a student to learn the beautiful truths of science and health if he fails to learn how to protect and to utilize this understanding. It is an intellectual attainment to gain a higher knowledge of God, of his law and power. Then comes the need to demonstrate and to protect this higher sense, as well as to gain skill in stepping down one's knowledge to the point where it becomes acceptable and understandable to humanity, so that they will be imbued with a desire for it. Mrs. Eddy's life and demonstration alone reveals the spirit of these vital points. Science and health is like an instruction manual in navigation. The practical side can be gained only by experience, from one's own and from that of another, who has successfully braved the storms and hidden reefs. Our leader took the ship of science, which she had built under God's direction, and sailed it successfully into the harbor of peace. Her life cannot be ignored. It must be studied in order that one may follow her as she followed Christ, since the spirit that animated her was God.
Thank you.
I love that. Her life must be studied.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Well, I think that's what has been often said, even last week at the roundtable, that we have to be careful of how we present Christian Science to humanity. And I think that's what Jesus did with the parables. Have to come down to that level and explain it so that it can be understood in a practical way.
Thank you.
I think even the simple sense of really getting the sense that indeed God is here for everyone and that he loves everyone, simply that's accepted by everyone. It's easy to accept that. And
yes.
That's people find that that's also what Christian Science believes, you know, that it opens the door.
A little bit more, I would like to add that it's the spirit and the word together. And that's what Mary Baker Eddy always wove together. And so the more that we understand what she did, the more that we are aware of our relationship to science, a Christian Science, which is not just beautiful stories and allegories, but actually a science that we can work with.
Thank you.
We have to demonstrate.
Yeah, thank you.
I think
Margaret Tesler.
Go ahead, Florence.
Go ahead, Florence.
Yeah, the book, The Spiritual Footsteps, was very helpful to me. How many years ago? But it was very, very helpful to me. Her spiritual footsteps. It shows how she used the science herself in her life.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say too. Perhaps the biggest gift that Carpenter has given us is this. He knew that we needed to see and understand how Mrs. Eddy used the science in the proper light. And in his book, and if you haven't read it, everyone should, Mary Baker Eddy, Her Spiritual Footsteps, explains her life, how she used it, how she worked on the weather, all the different things that she did to make the science practical. And he says, I believe it's in the first chapter of that book, or the introduction, where Bible, science, and health are very important, but the third thing is the living it and how to demonstrate it. And all his works do that. Certainly his watching points, 500 watching points, which this comes from, this watching point from that book. So Carpenter was essential in this. And at that time, and to this day, there's all this negative stuff written about her. And we have to present the true picture of who and what she is. And so important. And that's why it's so important for us to be living this truth, to each one of you to be a light. I had heard someone saying recently that, how could they be happy when there's so much suffering in this world? Now, I remember feeling that way once myself. But when you think about it, what good is it for you to be miserable too? And in our church, it's not that we ignore the suffering of others by any means. That's why we emphasize the watching and the praying so much, because we do, and we should feel the needs of mankind. We don't ignore it, but at the same time, we don't drag ourselves around and be miserable because everyone, or not everyone, but some people seem to be suffering, because that's not a solution. Is it? I don't see that as a solution.
No, it can't be. I mean, what about our life, our own private life in our corners? Be the sermon for someone to see that they shouldn't be suffering, because the Christ is here, really. And it's here for everyone.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. So, and to counteract the negative stuff that people think about science and show them it's just not true. It's the most wonderful thing on earth and in heaven. It's God's science, as someone was saying. It is. It's a science. Jesus, it's all in the lesson this week, how Jesus lived it and healed, but he didn't set down a set of rules or how to do it. And that came with Mrs. Eddy. She wanted to know the science of it, and she worked until she could. And I just love in the lesson where she says what it took to do that. It said she kept searched the scriptures, read little else, kept aloof from society, devoted time and energies to discovering a positive rule. And that search was sweet and calm and buoyant with hope, not selfish nor depressing. And she knew in primitive, she talks about primitive Christian healing was by holy, uplifting faith. Now, that's very important understand that, because you see that in Chosen, right? That's why faith was such a big deal. Where is your faith? You have to have faith. It was by holy, uplifting faith. That's how the healings happened in Jesus's time.
Now, and if you have that holy, uplifting faith, it's really hard to feel miserable.
True.
And that's why you really have to feel those words instead of just saying them.
Most definitely. You have to feel it. You have to get where you feel it. If you're not feeling it, you work at your gratitude.
Yes.
Because that's
why. That's what helped me. is I was working.
How's it going? Looks good.
I'm moving over in a minute. Did you like
okay.
It?
Yeah.
It looks nice.
Excuse me, someone's, you need to mute yourself if you talk, please. Go ahead.
In the last couple of months, I was working on a situation, and I was really encouraged to focus on joy and gratitude, and I thought I had been doing it, but I went deeper and did a lot more, and it's been changing my life. And I'm so grateful. It's just, you can't live without it.
You can't live without it. Chardell?
Oh, in Florence's book, her father said, in your little corner of the world, you know, shine and be happy and do good. I don't remember the exact words, but I love that.
Yeah, the way he put it was really beautiful in the book.
Your little corner of the world.
Do you remember that, Florence?
It's right in the corner. Yeah, it's right in the corner where you are. I think that Tony did it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
That's
the song. Yeah. And we're instructed to shine, right? Let your light shine. Yeah. And your joy no man can take from you. All these things, joy is a requirement. Bigdal Young says, if you're not joyful, you're not demonstrating Christian Science. It's a requirement. You can't just drudge around feeling miserable, no matter what your problems are, and some have many, but that's how you get rid of them.
Right.
Well, I wanted to say that I frequently visit a nursing home to visit a family member, and in years past, this was such a depressing thing for me whenever I had to do it that I avoided it like anything. And since coming here, I just have really, I've gone deeper also, and it's just amazing the difference. When I walk in there, I know what I have to see, and I am seeing it. I am seeing joy in there, and I'm seeing individuals that are expressing the qualities of God, and it's making such a difference. I just wanted to say thank you for that.
That's wonderful. Otherwise, it's better not to go. But yes, you go like a radiating light. You see in where Jesus saw God's own likeness in this correct view of man, heal the sick.
And that means you radiate, you don't absorb.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? You've got something to give to people around you. And if you give it, you will lift them up. What did Jesus say? And if I be lifted up, will draw all men.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. It's important that we don't allow ourselves to get to fall down into the mud and you know, wrestle around with whatever the error seems to be, because that's making a reality of the error. And if you buy it and make a reality of it, then you're both sunk, right?
Yes.
Yes.
You're part of
plus, it doesn't cost us anything, really, to be joyful and radiate this truth, right? God is so good. That makes us all free. I must also say, I'm so grateful for Tony's website, the connection with it, making Mary Baker Eddy who she is, or who she has been, known to the world also.
Thank you. Yes, I would mention that too. You all make sure you drop into Tony's website and because he was motivated by love for Mrs. Eddy and to correct the false images that are out there about her. And it's a very beautiful website. Who is
thank
Mary
you.
Baker?
And these incredible books that we have just continue to give so much more information that have to come out in the right way, the right verbiage of it. But it was mentioned earlier that we need to be reading, you know, a book a year. And I'm almost done with Bliss Knapp's The Destiny of the Mother Church. And this one would prove a little better than I thought it would be. So there's a lot there. I also make a comment about the, you said earlier that how could you be happy, you know, if you see all the suffering in the world? I think that's also, it's a it's an indication that you're operating from the wrong standpoint, that you probably mesmerized yourself. Because yes, there is obviously lots of problems and challenges out there, but that's really, that shows us where we need to be working. That's where we need to be putting our focus and our effort to help humanity. You know, reversing those claims and understanding, you know, God is all. God is there, right in that place. And Lord knows, I've been through a lot of suffering, and the suffering is what actually can be salutary. So we have to put the, you know, the problems in the right light, you know.
Thank you very much. That's
exactly right. Right.
Yes.
It's the light that's guiding us out. You know, we have been given all, there's a lot of darkness, yes, but there's also, the light is also here to guide us out of this darkness.
Thank you.
Yeah, and our job is not to make a reality of the darkness.
Yes.
Yeah, you always remember Adam dream. Go ahead, Sari.
One of the things that I think we also have to realize, I see this challenge that comes in so many things. I'm really grateful that I'm part of the Shorts group. And one of the things that comes to me, God, what do you want me to do? So demonstration, and more demonstration with the assertiveness and confidence, it only comes from God, just like drawing. This comes from God. It doesn't come from me. Mrs. Eddy said she was a scribe under orders, and that's what we all are, and that's why we're together. And when we have the challenges, we can go to our 24/7 reading room. Yes. How many people in the Boston church, I don't have the chance this, you know, during these holidays to go to a reading room, and yet they're encouraged. That's where you, you know, you have to go. And I've told people there are other possibilities. Go online, Plainfield Independent could speak to you.
Thank you, Sari. Yes.
Can I make just a quick comment about the Shorts, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Uh-huh. She mentioned the Shorts. I just want to make sure people know what she's referring to. If you go to the Plainfield YouTube page, most of what you find there are the videos, which are the longer form. But there's another tab called Shorts, and a short is a video that is less than 60 seconds. And there's a small team of people who are putting together shorts introducing science and health and the Bible to the world. And my, you know, my ask would be, if you've not watched the short, I would encourage you to like them, put a comment on them, and if you have a Facebook account, share it, because these are the little excerpts that might introduce Christian Science and might introduce Plainfield and Mary Baker Eddy to the larger world. To be honest, they're not really for Christian Scientists per se. This is to reach humanity, and the Google algorithm really works, you know, when people see it and watch it and share it. Then it gets pushed out to more and more people. And that way we can reach humanity, if you will, through YouTube.
Good
Thank
point.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are so busy today, you know, they don't want to listen to a long thing, especially if it's something I know for myself, shorts come in very handy. You get a good little perspective of various things in less than a minute. So yeah, thank you very much, Tony, for doing that, starting that. And yeah, it is part of our outreach, part of our missionary work, and it's, and all of us should be supporting it, and yeah, give it likes. I don't like to say that a lot about things, but yeah, I appreciate if people give it a thumbs up. What does it take? A half a second, not even, to give things a thumbs up. I try to always go through all our things and give them thumbs up, because they're worthy of a thumbs up. So, and a comment too. I always appreciate people's comments, sincere comments of gratitude. So, thank you all. And this theme of light, you know, we talked about it at the Bible study, the one we had right after Thanksgiving, and preparing ourselves for the holy days, and where we were talking about Mrs. Eddy's book, Christ and Christmas, which came out at a time, and I think I read this in a Longyear article, but it was in the, you know, the mid to latter 1800s. And up until that time, Christmas was celebrated in, I believe, a more holy way. But it's when the Macy's and other stores caught on to, wow, this is a good time to sell things at Christmas and make it into a big
big merchandise event.
Yeah, yes. Which, boy, has it ever become more and more secular, so that Christ in Christmas was sent to the world to give the true meaning of Christmas. And on 9 of the pages, the pictures, there was the Bethlehem star in the picture, because Mrs. Eddy had such great emphasis on light and that star. She called it the Star of Boston, which we can say the Star of Christian Science. And in the lesson, I love it too, where she says that to those leaning on the sustaining infinite, today is big with blessings. The wakeful shepherd beholds the first faint morning beams, ere cometh the full radiance of risen day. So shone the pale star to the prophet shepherds, yet it traversed the night and came where in cradle obscurity lay the Bethlehem babe, the human herald of Christ, truth, who would make plain to benighted understanding the way of salvation through Christ Jesus, till across a night of error should dawn the morning beams and shine the guiding star of being. The wise men were led to behold and follow this day star of divine science, lighting the way to eternal harmony. Over and over, the idea of light. And you see, the light shines on the whole world. It's not just some little area. Everyone receives that light. And benighted understanding, that benighted involved in darkness, physical or moral. And all of us have felt that darkness. I've told you the first thing she was talking to was like a bright beam of light shining on a very depressed thought that I had at the time. It's this light that shines, the day star. And we follow it. And again, I just love that story of the three wise men, because that shows to me, proves to me, they all got the message from the various places they lived, in this case, India, Egypt, and Greece. And so this truth is not limited to certain people, certain sects. It's for everybody. They got it. They followed it. They heard it. They listened to their dreams. They didn't go back to see Herod. It's such a beautiful story. And I know it's true. I just feel it's true. So it has to be true. And that's why this whole story of the Christ is known to everyone in every land. So with that, I'd like Chardell to share what she found and sent in. It's beautiful.
I was interested in the light also from the lesson, and in Science and Health 11, which really excited the beginning. The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus's time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light. That's in the beginning. And then I went right to our website, and this I found from William D. McCracken. Humanity cries for more light. Yet in reality, the light of truth is here, and the ultimate is always at hand. The kingdom of God, spoken by John the Baptist, Jesus, and Paul, is always present, though not always humanly perceived. Its invariable characteristic is light. The New Jerusalem knows no darkness. As we read in the Apocalypse, quote, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, end quote. The experience of spiritual progress may be described as that of emerging into the light, leaving the darkness of the world behind, and the blackness of sin the density of materialism. I'll stop there. Well, one more little. Okay. In the full light of the kingdom of heaven on earth, there is no knowledge of evil.
Yeah. It's beautiful. The whole article is very beautiful. And it goes on to say, a special injunction rests upon Christian Scientists to reflect the light, lest darkness again settle upon the earth and the footprints of former reformers be swept away by a returning. While we have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. And then Christian Scientists in this era are not exempt from the obligations imposed upon the children of light in all times. Loyally attentive to the warnings of their leader, they stand ready to repulse open and secret attempts to plunge the world once again into pre-Christian gloom. So here again, it's how we started with being that light, being that example, knowing what that example is, and then living it. And in that way, you are so blessed because you can't be having these pity parties. You're having these pity parties. You can't reflect the light. You've got to just say, okay, I'm done with all these pity parties. I'm gonna get out there and be a light. Believe me, I had to wrestle with myself to give up my pity parties, but it's a good thing. They have no good to tell you. I don't care how sad your life's been, how awful things have been. They're a big lie anyway.
Well, they're not part of the solution.
They are not. Yes. So anyway, it's a beautiful article. It's on our website. It's called More Light, right? By William.
Yep. More Light.
More Light. And I love in the well, just in the beginning, it's in the responsive reading and in the Bible. It describes heaven on earth. Truly, it does. And yes, we'll have a child is born to us, again, bringing this light of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. And then the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Everybody's going to see it. And the zeal of the Lord, that zeal is passionate ardor in the pursuit of anything. So God's going to bring all this to pass. And it is coming to pass to whom?
Kind.
Everyone.
Everyone who has a receptive. If you're receptive to this truth, it's happening now to you. It's like happening now.
Yeah.
Yes. Like the shepherds, and the point being that, you know, the shepherds, the humble shepherds, not the Pharisees, not the rich people, in humility they saw that star and went for it, found it. And then it describes in Isaiah, you know, about the Christ again. But the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. All of this peace and harmony on earth. No more fighting and all this stuff going on. And for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So let us be this light that is ushering in this time. First in our own lives, but then for everyone, everywhere. And if it could have been done so many years ago with the coming of Christ Jesus, and then, yes, the coming of Christian Science, and now let us bring in the millennium, as we talked about. If you don't think you can do it, guess what?
You can't.
you have to have that expectation. That we can do it. Otherwise, if you think, oh, that's crazy, we're not going to be doing that.
What you expect.
You get what you expect.
Like Mary and the story of Martha Wilcox.
Exactly. The power of a right idea, which is why this time of year is such a time of rejoicing for all of us, because we have these wonderful stories to think about, to be, to live. And yes, that story of Mary, who and what she was, how she ushered in the Christ consciousness in the darkest time. So don't tell me about politics has screwed everything up. No, I don't want to hear that. The Roman Empire couldn't
that
be
any worse.
The worst of times. So it has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with God. And the zeal of God will perform this. He's done it before. He's doing it now, and he'll do it again. So,
and there are those people that feel that they're not receptive to God's word. And really, everyone is receptive. And the only requirement is that you live to your highest sense of right and your highest understanding. And everyone is receptive. You have that within you.
Yes, you do. You were born with it. You deny it. You deny its presence by saying, I don't have it. But start saying, I do have it. Mm-hmm. I do. Argue on the right side. Be your best friend.
Exactly. It's also very important to be cautious that you are not voicing errors. Suggestions. You know, some people that I get is like constantly saying, oh, I don't feel God. I don't feel him. I don't know. I don't feel him. Well, that's arguing for error, really. It's got you saying what it wants you to be. So you have to be careful of that.
It does. So important that you realize if it's not a thought from God, you don't entertain it. You are blocking out your own progress by saying you don't get it. I can't understand it. I don't feel God. I don't feel his love. You just keep saying that and you'll just go around in your little muddle. Mm-hmm. Got to break out of it. And this is living those pages 390 to 393. It's living it, not reading it. Rise in rebellion against it. Blot out the images. Do these things. Then you bring it home, okay? You're bringing it home. It's not just some theory. It's something you're living and doing, and you will be surprised. It works. If it worked for me, who was a pretty sad case at one point, believe me, it'll work for anybody. Did it come overnight? No. It took
no.
That's right. And Florence will tell you that too. Sometimes it can. I mean, sometimes you get revelations and things and you feel very inspired. But to really grow and get it, it takes work. And Mrs. Eddy says that, too, in the lesson. She says about, you know, you have the book, but you got to study it, right? You got to work with it. Can't find it right now, but anyway.
It's the book introduces new thoughts.
Yes, thank you. That's what
but it cannot make them speedily understood.
Thank you.
It is the task of the sturdy pioneer to hew the oak and to cut the rough granite.
Thank you. So you can read the book, but it doesn't make it speedily understood. You've got to work at it. And work at it we do. And it's a great blessing to do that work. And we can be the pioneers cutting down the wood or not. So let's be that pioneer. And remember always, because I always love this in the Matthew part of the Nativity, where Jesus, which being interpreted means what?
God with us.
So remember all the time, remember God with us, Emmanuel, God with me, God with all of us. And he is always, never set apart. God is always with us. Okay, so let's see. Nancy, you wrote about the golden text.
Yes. Thou Bethlehem, Ephrata, I believe.
Yes.
Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And in the commentary on daily verse, God is faithful to his people Israel, even when they go astray, and despite their prolonged rebellion against their long-suffering covenant with keeping God. He remains faithful to his erring children, for he promised to send a kinsman redeemer, who would save his people from their sins. And the birthplace of their Messiah was identified as Bethlehem, Ephratah, the little town of David. God's word speaks history into being, years and sometimes centuries before it is acted out on the pages of time. And this insignificant little town in the region of Judah was proclaimed to be the chosen place from whence the promised Messiah would come. But although this verse identifies the birthplace of Christ with astonishing accuracy, it further proclaims with equal authority that this coming ruler of Israel, who was the promised deliverer of God's people, would be deity, God with us, Emmanuel. His beginnings were from of old, and his existence was rooted outside of time, space, and matter. For he, the one who spoke everything into being, his origin has been from eternity, and his divine personage is secured from everlasting to everlasting. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of immeasurable time. God's word speaks history into being, and of the hundreds of prophecies that foretold of his first coming, not one had failed in its fulfillment, for all were accomplished to the last detail of every jot and tittle in Holy Scripture. God's word stands fast forever and ever, and nothing contained in the entire Bible will fail of its full and final accomplishment.
Thank you. I love that. God's word speaks history into being, and it's always God's word. And it is the golden thread that runs through the Bible. It still is running through all of our lives. All the good that has transpired since the Bible has been God's word working in our lives. And many people have ushered it in, including and especially Mary Baker Eddy.
Yeah.
So, but we can be part of that as well. So do you want to be part of that, or do you want to be part of the mumble grumble life's, well, I won't say what people say, but life's not fun, or life's whatever they say.
Yeah, so no murmurings or disputings.
Yes, no murmurings and disputings. No murmurings. Remember, the murmurings and disputings led the children of Israel to do what?
Wander in the wilderness for 40 years.
Thank you very much. Exactly. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with all their murmurings and disputings. So let's not do that. We can bring in all good sooner than later by being faithful to this. And all of us have had many wonderful healings to rejoice in and to remember. And that should silence any rumblings. So thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
And now, Karen, did you want to share some of what you gave, I guess?
Oh, dear. Well, I found Matthew Henry's commentary on Isaiah 11. And, I'll just read a little bit. The Messiah is called a rod and a branch. The words signify a small, tender product, a shoot, such as is easily broken off. He comes forth out of the stem of Jesse when the royal family was cut down and almost leveled with the ground. It would sprout again. The house of David was brought very low at the time of Christ's birth. The Messiah thus gave early notice that his kingdom was not of this world, but the Holy Spirit in all his gifts and graces shall rest and abide upon him. He shall have the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him. Many consider that seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are here mentioned, and the doctrine of the influences of the Holy Spirit is here clearly taught. The Messiah would be just and righteous in all his government. His threatening shall be executed by the working of his Spirit according to his word. There shall be great peace and quiet under his government. The gospel changes the nature and makes those who trampled on the meek of the earth meek like them and kind to them. but it shall be more fully shown in the latter days. Also Christ, the great shepherd, shall take care of his flock, that the nature of troubles and of death itself shall be so changed that they shall not do any real hurt. God's people shall be delivered, not only from evil, but from the fear of it.
Thank you. Beautiful.
I like that it says that the nature of evil, or I understood it as how people respond to it. You know, you can get all worked up over it, and then it pull you down into a hole, and you're miserable. Or you can look at it and laugh and beat it down. You know?
That's it. Thank you. That's why the laughter is such a wholesome thing, you know, to laugh at it. Rather, you know, my mother used to tell me it's better to laugh than cry. And if you can laugh at it, put it in its place and realize it's just a big bully that's nothing to fear. As Mrs. Eddy said, keep your grin ahead of your groan. So thank you. And not react to the error. You know, that's what it wants you to do, is to react. So
the one thing that evil cannot stand is to be laughed at. If you don't take it seriously, it falls apart. It wants you to take it seriously.
Yeah, it comes to you for life, and you give it all the life it has.
Thank you.
That's it. Yep. And that is if evil were a real entity, but it isn't. But so now I always keep this folder of Christmas things that I love. Some it's the old Liberators and articles, and there was one. It this is from Longyear, but it was a gift to the world. Mrs. Eddy's Christmas message, and it starts that Christmas Day, 1909, in the second floor study of 400 Beacon Street, a group of household workers assembled before Mary Baker Eddy. It was a Saturday just before noon, and a turkey dinner was roasting in the oven downstairs. On the desk at her left side, there was a freshly penned note answering Mrs. Eddy's request to Laura Sargent. Laura Sargent stepped forward and read the message to the group. And most of you know this, but to my household, beloved, a word to the wise is sufficient. Mother wishes you all a happy Christmas, a feast of soul, and a famine of sense. Lovingly, lovingly thine, Mary Baker Eddy. Now, someone very lovingly sent me that in a framed, it's very beautiful. And it's something to remember all year round. And, you know, she had to tell her students not to give her all these gifts and other things because it was just too much. And it goes on. It's a beautiful article. And anyway, giving a glimpse into what it was like in her household. It reads, it was a memorial gift on Christmas Day that otherwise passed quietly at 400 Beacon Street. The staff enjoyed a traditional turkey dinner, and Mrs. Eddy spent the afternoon working through her mail with a secretary. After the sun had set, snow began to fall softly. That night, several inches would fall and blanket the grounds and the trees. The next morning, with snow still falling, a brilliantly white landscape awaited Mary Baker Eddy and her household. Although Christmas had come and gone, the spiritual celebration continued. To Mrs. Eddy, every day was a Christmas. Her timely message, a reminder to her household, remains a timeless gift to the world. So, and what does that mean, a feast of soul and a famine of sense?
Well, get away, rise above the materiality of the occasion that wants to make it material to the spiritual sense of it, the Christ, the coming of the Christ. Stay there, not get down into the material, you know, all the stuff that's going on in the world materially. That's how I take it.
Right now, it seems like we have a feast of sense instead.
Yeah, because so true. Go ahead, Craig.
what makes a great day or any, through all the time, when you can sense what God is doing, and that's his gifts of soul, when you can sense that and the magnitude and the beauty of it in any situation, it does happen, and we see it, and it's a joy. It lifts our hearts to how sweet he is. It might just be a little child coming and grabbing your hand or something, but yeah. The innocence, but it happens, but we miss it if we don't keep striving to see it.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
The thing that is inscribed on Mrs. Eddy's spoon is mind, not matter, satisfieth. Which means we shouldn't look to matter for pleasure, for satisfaction, to fill our needs. We should look to spirit, which is all there is and which always supplies our needs. Spirit, soul, obviously being the synonyms for God. And it's a matter of priorities. If you go to God first, he will provide whatever the need is. If you don't go to God first, if you go to your grocery list, you go to your whatever, your closet, your kitchen, your refrigerator, your, you know, whatever first, you'll find something, but it won't satisfy and it won't meet your needs.
Thank you.
Years ago, I sort of went into an in-depth, I wanted to find out where all the Christmas tree, Santa Claus, all that stuff came from. So I delved into the history of all of this, and because I was a teacher and, you know, I sort of wanted to know this sort of thing. And boy, when I did that, I never had a tree again. There were so many things I didn't do ever again. Mm-hmm. Because when I found out where all that came from, I thought, oh my gosh, this is all comes from pagan worship. Mm-hmm. And I just dropped all that so quickly. And I thought, oh man, I just, you know, I was brought up, even as raised in a Christian Science home, big tree, lots of press, I mean, all of this. And I just, when I read that, oh my gosh, it was done. I mean, I was, nope, not for me, never again. And that changed my whole concept of really focusing on what was true about Christmas.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Everything should be motivated by God, if it's a blessing or not. And yeah, it's amazing how so many things were started with heathen practices, including all of medicine.
Right.
So it's good to go back and see that. And certainly Halloween, all these celebrations are not the best. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Even the Easter Bunny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's all about the eggs and the Easter Bunny. Some of these things can be joyous for little children. I don't ditz all of it, so to speak, but it's what's in your heart, what's behind it, always your motive. And people who go in a frenzy over decorating and writing Christmas cards, and that's just wrong.
And don't balance it with the true understanding.
Meaning. That's it. Should have the true understanding. So, this was in a. Oh, go ahead.
Can I have just one little point?
Sure.
One of the things I noticed is that when we look at this holiday, you know, of giving, supposedly, somebody gifted me a red coat, and I have enough winter coats, thank many blessings. And so I thought, you know, I have to let go of this. You know, why am I holding on to things, you know, God gives so that I share? And this is a time when people also need this, just like I feel about the reading rooms, that they are closed, you know, at the different Boston churches. So that's why I think, you know, when we give, you know, we received far more, because that's what Jesus also did. He gave, you know, he washed the feet of his disciples, you know, and that's a form of washing those disciples, the disciples' feet and demonstrating.
Thank you. Yes, that's it. I know families during like Thanksgiving and Christmas, they go to shelters, they meet people, but it's more about giving. Absolutely it is. And in doing that, you are an example, not about the getting, but giving. Now, we'll conclude. Have a lot more, but I won't get to it all today. This was from Rays from Christmastide by Effie Mason. It talks about the shepherd. To the shepherds appeared this angelic message. It did not come to confusion or discord. It came in the midnight hour when the world was asleep in material darkness, and none but the shepherds were awake. It came in heavenly harmony and was heard only by those whose minds were receptive to the heavenly chorus. The air was stirred with that wondrous song as a multitude of heavenly hosts swept down from the skies to bless the earth with glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The theme belongs to heaven. There is a ring in the words that is not of this world. And then Gary will read. This was something that Bob Parthens from Colorado sent me a few years ago. We've read it before, but it's very beautiful on the writing of Handel's Messiah.
And he entitled it, quote, "God to Earth, God to Earth, come in, please." And he quotes Psalm 50, quote, "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof," end quote. An excerpt from Judge Hanna's memoirs, quote, "In 1898, when work had accumulated to such an extent that I, Judge Hanna, wrote Mrs. Eddy for permission to resign some of my places, she asked me to adopt a method of relief by taking certain hours each day for self-work, during which I was not to be interrupted by anyone for any purpose. She said that had she not adopted such a course, she never could have accomplished her work," end quote. And Parthens writes, "What is so significant here is that Mrs. Eddy did not advise Judge Hanna at all concerning his least action, but rather called him to contemplation, inferring that seeking God first, seeking him more, was the chief clue to solving the mystery of accomplishing so many important, needful things efficiently. While he was so concerned about not having enough hours in the day to accomplish all of his God-given assignments, she called him to give up even more of those precious working hours to the God who worketh the works. She called him to go up higher in surrendering more of his work schedule to the seemingly more counterproductive task of centering himself more in God while concentrating less on doing God's work. The work would more than take care of itself, as supremely evidenced in her own life." After Handel received the libretto to the Messiah, made up entirely of sacred scripture, he was inspired to take no action whatsoever, but instead decided to devote his attention to God for a season. As it turns out, Handel sat for 3 days in an altered state of consciousness, without eating or drinking. He appeared to be so completely inactive that his servant, steeped in sense, became extremely concerned, thinking him dead. But thanks to a wise physician, no one touched him. Later, Handel testified that during those 3 days he had been taken to heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord, in a state of continual Christ consciousness. After that experience, he wrote the massive score of the Messiah in just 21 days. He never charged a penny for any of the performances, insisting that the work was not his, that he was only the secretary of heaven's musical dictation. God is continually calling me to surrender more and more of that which is earthly of me, that it might be placed under the rule of heaven. Therefore, when I am tempted to feel overwhelmed with the work that heaven has assigned me to perform, may God help me to interrupt myself, to consecrate every moment, every breath, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, to the task of surrendering, giving up possession of, a little more of the earthly kingdom of self-expressing selfhood, that every surrendered portion may be in God's possession, and thus translated into Christ expressing selfhood. And may God also grant me the grace never to surrender the least particle of that now heaven-possessed portion back into the possession of the kingdom of self-expressing selfhood, that the kingdom of God may fill all in all.
Thank you all for joining today.
Thank you.
Gary?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
With this, with
thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.